Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and today is the first show of the first full week of a brand new decade. I don't know about you, but many of you love this ministry because we are equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. And we do that day in, day out on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and through the many outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. I do not know today how many of you will continue to hear my voice over your particular radio station in the future. But what I do know is that this will be a decisive decade in the history of Western civilization, and that the Christian Research Institute, by God's grace, will continue to be a voice of reason in a world of chaos and confusion. This year, we're also going to be doing what many of you have implored me to do for a long time, which is to break our silence regarding those who have attacked the voice of the Christian Research Institute by concocting and circulating misleading and factually indefensible stories against me and the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But more importantly, this year, we're going to tackle the problem of biblical illiteracy head on. As I look forward to the future, the problem that continues to gnaw at me is this: biblical illiteracy. Indeed, biblical illiteracy is not merely a problem. Biblical illiteracy is the problem. In the time of the prophet Jeremiah, discovery of the book of the law was the catalyst for spiritual renewal. What happened in Jeremiah's day can surely happen again. Thus, the Christian Research Institute has purposed to tackle the issue of biblical illiteracy head-on during the year of our 50th anniversary celebration. Hard to believe, but 50 years of ministry. Of course, I need you, as always, to join me in the adventure. This year, with each new letter that I write to our partners, I'm going to make available a resource designed to drive you into the immortal words of God. This month, we're going to begin with the main and the plain thing. Two specially designed place markers replete with my personal approach to reading through God's 66 love letters, one book at a time. And not only one book at a time this year, but one book at a time, hopefully, for the rest of your life. And the reason I want to send you two place markers instead of one is that pursuing this goal with a family member or a friend oftentimes spells the difference between failure and success, between an unfinished monument and an enduring legacy. The beautifully designed place markers are designed to guide you step by step through the journey of a lifetime. There's one for you, and as I said, one for a family member or friend, and they will serve another invaluable purpose as well. They'll be an enduring reminder to pray for and support a ministry that God has raised up for just such a time as this. A ministry that by God's grace can make the year 2010 a year of personal transformation, a year in which we tackle biblical illiteracy, and a year in which we recommit ourselves to become salt and light in a lost and searching generation. And that's why you're so important. Without your help, the impact of all that the Christian Research Institute does is limited. Your gift today is not just to the Christian Research Institute, to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but you're giving through us, transforming the lives of men and women and children, the majority of whom we will never even know this side of eternity. A person like Jim, who says, I started listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast in 2001 when I was working with a couple of Christian guys who regularly listened to the broadcast. Many days we would discuss what we heard on the broadcast. Through the faithfulness of these men, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the Lord's love, I have been more faithful and committed to Christ and His church, and I know I'm a better man for it. Or another who writes, through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I've come to realize that Jesus was there at creation and that He actually created me. I've never heard it explained clearly like that before. So when I ask you to support this ministry, and when I ask you to ask yourself for these specially designed place markers, I want you to think about supporting this ministry as well, sending in your most generous donation. Because your gift, by God's grace, will transform countless lives, not only this month and this year, but they will transform countless lives like they have for the last 50 years. But I really do need to hear from you today. The need has never been greater. And CRI's vision to transform millions of minds has never been more compelling. In fact, right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, tomorrow, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, and I will be discussing a brand new issue of the Christian Research Journal. And on that issue, you will read three words that you probably never thought you'd see on a journal. The words, "We were wrong." A reassessment of a movement that the ministry of the Christian Research Institute had assessed in the 70s. I instituted a 6-year-long research project on this movement. And I'll tell you one thing, and this is something not only for those of us who are in ministry, but those of us in life in general. It is hard to say those three words, "we were wrong." No words are more likely to stick in our throats than those words. And yet for a ministry or a person committed to the maxim, because truth matters, the willingness to utter those words is not an option. It's an essential. Talk about essentials, that is an essential. That is what a true follower of Christ and someone in discernment ministry must be willing to do. We're going to be talking about that on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, again with Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. You don't want to miss the broadcast. And if you don't have the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, order right away. It's a must magazine for the next decade. You can order at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the World Wide Web, equip.org, equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And now to our mission, which is to answer questions, to demonstrate that there are answers to questions, that the Christian faith is historic and evidential. It's not blind faith. It's faith in evidence. We go to the phone lines. First up, Jimmy. He's listening in Illinois. Hi, Jimmy.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Your question.
Yes, I have a hard time trying to understand that, you know, when the Bible, when people say, like the church that I go to, that they say Jesus is God, it's like, I just wanted to quote a scripture out of the Bible where it says in Mark 10:18, it says, Jesus said, and Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. And I just have a hard time trying to understand how could he be God, because I always see him as a person falling on his face, talking to his Father, his God in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand how could, you know.
Well, I'm glad you called, because this is what I call the mother of all questions. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question, who do you say that I am? And there are a lot of answers that you get in our culture. For example, Mormons say that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer, or Jehovah's Witness will say that Jesus is the Archangel Michael, or a New Thought guru will say he's an avatar, an enlightened messenger. But in Christianity, we say that he is God. And we say that for a number of different reasons. First, Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus said to the Jews, I and the Father are one. And the Jews picked up stones to stone him. And then Jesus said, I have shown you many great miracles. For which of these are you stoning me? And the Jewish leader said, we're not stoning you for any of these miracles, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim you are God. Over and over again, Jesus Christ made the claim that he was God. He claimed to possess the very attributes of God. In fact, when Thomas doubted, Jesus said that he was God by saying, put your hands on my hands. Look at the holes in my hands. Touch me. Jesus, in doing that, was pointing out to Thomas that he had resurrected from the dead, which is to say that he is the only one in the history of humanity that had the power to lay down his life and the power to take up his life again, thus demonstrating that he was God. Now, not only does Jesus say he was God, the Bible says Jesus Christ is God. And if you want to see that very clearly, in a memorable way, just look at John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, and Revelation 1. In fact, you can even look at 2 Peter 1, where Peter says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So Peter directly calls Jesus Christ God. But there's more. Christ's credentials back up his claim to deity. He demonstrated that he was God in human flesh by manifesting the credential of sinlessness. He demonstrated supernatural authority over sickness. He demonstrated supernatural authority over the forces of nature. He demonstrated supernatural authority over fallen angels and supernatural authority over death. Remember in John 4, where Jesus tells a royal official whose son was close to death, your son will live? The bottom line here is simply this: the credentials of Christ's deity are demonstrated through his deeds, but they're also seen in the lives of countless men and women and children, because each day people of every tongue and tribe and nation experience the resurrected Christ by repenting of their sins and receiving him as Lord and Savior. And then they not only come to know about Christ evidentially, but experientially, Christ becomes more real to them than the very flesh upon their bones. So as I said at the very beginning, Jimmy, you've asked the mother of all questions. And that question is, who do you say that I am? The Bible says Jesus Christ is God. Jesus said he was God. And Christ's credentials back up his claim to be God. Now, I said all of that very quickly. I have a resource, Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. And the D in doctrine stands for the deity of Jesus Christ. And there I lay out the case for the fact that Jesus Christ is God. Hang on, Jimmy. I'll send it to you as my gift to you this new year. We'll be right back.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101. That's 877-768-2784, extension 101. Or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Hank will return with more of the Bible Answer Man right after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors. And narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Christian Research Journal is the premier magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. Joining Hank tomorrow on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, will be discussing the latest issue of the journal. In this issue, topics like abortion and healthcare reform, walking you through a spiritual boot camp, and a re-evaluation of our views on the movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, known as the local church. So be sure to tune in for this special broadcast. You can also join the conversation by calling 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265, tomorrow between 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. We'll talk next to Carol. She's listening in Milton, Washington. Hi, Carol. Hello, Carol, you there?
The problem is not that...
We got the radio there, but not Carol. Carol, are you there? Okay, we'll see if we can get back to you later. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Simon in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Simon. Hello, Simon, are you there? We will try again. Nino, listening in St. Louis, Missouri on KSIV. Hi, Nino.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
I'm doing great, thanks. Your question?
Yes, my question is, if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, why do they refer to him as God?
Well, to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is not meant that he is the Son of God in some kind of a physical sense, as though God procreates a son, but it signifies that he shares the same nature with God the Father. That's the point of Scripture. So Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. God is called the Father. The third person of the Trinity is called the Holy Spirit. And this does not have to do with ontological distinctions within the Godhead, but rather it has to do with identity and personhood within the Godhead. So the Father loves the Son, and the Son prays to the Father. The Son sends the Holy Spirit. So we're talking here about personal distinctions within the Godhead. But in a Christian worldview, there's only one God to begin with. And so when we talk about the Trinity as Christians, we're talking about one God by nature or essence, three in person. The reason we say that is the Bible says that Jesus is God, as I said to an earlier caller, Jimmy. The Bible also says that the Father is God, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit is God, and yet the Bible says Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. So the Trinity, then, is a way of communicating one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. Those persons, again, are not three gods, but we're talking there about identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. Okay?
Yeah, that's understandable.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Francisco, listening on KDAR in Ventura, California. Hi, Francisco.
Oh, hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you?
I'm good. Good talking to you.
Oh, thank you. I actually know you personally. I went to your seminars in Newbury Park. Yeah, I took some pictures with you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you. Yes, the question I have for you, Mr. Hanegraaff.
Sure.
I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm not. I left the church like a year ago,
mm-hmm.
but I noticed when I try to shed a little light on them, they always tell me the verse, Revelation 14:12, about the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. The question is, are you supposed to keep the Ten Commandments now or not?
Yeah.
To be saved.
Here's what's really interesting, particularly when you talk to Seventh-day Adventists, and that is that as Christians, we recognize in the Bible civil and ceremonial laws that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And therefore, those civil and ceremonial laws are abrogated. They have no value or purpose anymore. But there are commandments that are universal. For example, to love your father and love your mother is a eternal command. On the contrary, to keep the Sabbath is not an eternal command. What is an eternal command is that we work 6 days and rest the seventh. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he demonstrated that he is the Prince of Life. And he also, as the writer of Hebrews, points out, gave us our Sabbath rest. It is in Christ who fulfills the types and shadows that we have our Sabbath rest. And therefore, the most dangerous snare for the early Christian church was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. So in short, I would say this, it's important, particularly when you talk to a Seventh-day Adventist, to point out that there are different uses of the law in Scripture. The law reveals sin. The law maintains order within a society. The law is a guide for Christians in living out a believer's life. So the law has different purposes, and the civil and ceremonial laws no longer have any purpose, the reason being they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay, yes, because they always have a very twisted doctrine. You know, you try to point out a lot of verses, and you point out like 3 verses, and they come up with like 9 or 10, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to win with those people, you know?
Yeah, it really is, and since you have a background there, you know what's going on. I mean, it's very difficult, and you have to deal with it with gentleness and with respect, and point out that the moral aspects of the law are universal aspects of the law that never go away, but the civil and ceremonial aspects are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So you don't have to keep the dietary laws. You certainly do not want to keep the sacrificial system. Because if you were to do that, the writers of Hebrews has real strong words for you. If you keep temple, priest, and sacrifice when Jesus Christ is the sacrifice, then you're trampling upon the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So yeah, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment.
Okay. To me, you know, when all their doctrine, to me, it sounds a lot of the doctrine is like a blasphemy against God, you know. Because when you don't recognize what Jesus came to do for us, it sounds kind of blasphemous, you know. That's why I wanted to check with you to see what you thought about that issue.
Yes, well, it's an important issue.
A little more light to them.
Yeah, it's an important issue. And under both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And the Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws pointed to Christ, and therefore, even Abraham was not, as Romans 4 puts it, saved after circumcision, but rather before circumcision. And the reason was he believed God. He had faith in God and that his promises would inevitably come to pass. Good talking to you, Francisco.
Okay, thank you, sir. I hope to see you again in California one of these days.
You got it. Look forward to seeing you as well. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Carol. Hopefully you're there this time, Carol. Hi.
I was listening to the radio. I thought you would be calling over, talking over the radio. But
I am talking over the radio, but I'm also talking over the phone.
Oh, okay. It's turned up. Well, our radio broadcast only goes from 3 to 3:30, and I'm so happy that you're back on KGDN. You were off for a couple months, and I almost cried because you weren't on at that time. But anyway, my husband has a very big hang-up on this verse, Matthew 16:28.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how to explain it to him, but he's, you know, where some are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And so he feels Jesus lied because he didn't come back when they were standing there. So
yeah.
So he's not a Christian because he has some big hang-ups, and one of them is that verse, and I don't know how to explain it to him.
Well, I have just the resource. It is a book that I wrote called The Apocalypse Code.
Oh, I had that book.
Well, I answer that very question.
And
it's really interesting because Jesus used that metaphor coming many different times. For example, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven, Jesus said to Caiaphas. Now, someone that doesn't know the Bible might have missed the point of Jesus' words, but in the biblical times, Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin didn't miss the import of his words at all. In fact, they understood that when he was saying the Son of Man would come on the clouds of heaven, he was making an overt reference to his coronation as the Son of Man in Daniel's vision. And in doing that, he was not only claiming to be the pre-existent sovereign of the universe, but he was prophesying that he would vindicate his claim before the very court that was condemning him to death. And there's more, because if you look at Daniel's prophecy of the Son of Man, he's not descending to earth at the end of history, but ascending to heaven. And by combining this prophecy in Daniel with David's proclamation in Psalm 110, Jesus was claiming that he would ascend to the throne of Israel's God and share God's very glory. And that's why the Pharisees and the teachers of the law condemned Jesus as worthy of death. So the point is this, that coming on clouds was a common Old Testament symbol pointing to God as the sovereign judge of the nations. And so in Matthew 16, Matthew 24, and on many other occasions, Jesus talked about his coming. And when he was talking about his coming in those instances, he is not talking about his second coming. He's talking about his coming in judgment on the very ones who simply did not recognize or wouldn't believe that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. And they wanted to continue with temple, priest, and sacrifice when the ultimate sacrificial lamb was with them. And so he's talking about coming in judgment. And that is precisely what happened when the temple in Jerusalem, the very places that gave the Jews their sociological and theological significance, were destroyed, just as Jesus said they would be. Remember, he said it would happen within a generation. And so that's what's going on in Matthew chapter 16. But I lay this out very carefully, and I'm just opening my book here on pages 25 through 26. But if you look in the back of the book, you'll find other places that I talk about the coming metaphor that Jesus uses.
More than it's not actual; it's a metaphor. He was telling them that
he was coming in judgment.
Coming judgment of the people that didn't believe.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, it is a judgment metaphor, and again, it's laid out very carefully in the book, The Apocalypse Code, and thank goodness you have it, because you can read it for yourself. I've got to go. I'm coming up to the station break. We're right back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all of the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus new answers to some of today's toughest questions. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity, for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy and help support CRI at this critical time when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't touch that dial. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yeah.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. 2010 marks the 50th anniversary of the Christian Research Institute. As we look forward to the future, however, biblical illiteracy continues to be the problem in our current culture. In the time of the prophet Jeremiah, discovery of the book of the law was the catalyst that transformed the nation of Israel and brought them back to God. What happened in Jeremiah's day can surely happen again. Thus, the Christian Research Institute has decided to tackle the issue of biblical illiteracy head-on during the year of our 50th anniversary celebration. But we need you to join us in the adventure. This month, we'd like to begin with the main and plain thing, read your Bible. That is why we have specially designed place markers with Hank's personal approach to reading the Bible in a year. For your gift to the Christian Research Institute, you'll receive two place markers so you can partner with a family member or friend as you follow Hank's personal approach to reading through the Bible. Your gift will not only start you off on your journey through the Word of God, but will work through CRI to transform our world for Christ. To make a difference with your gift and start your journey, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Well, now back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And back to our phone callers. Next up is Brian, listening on XM Radio 170 in Jamestown, New York. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. This is Brian. I've been listening to a teacher that's on XM 170. His name is Michael Oxentango. And he's saying in the book of Daniel, the voice of the archangel, Michael, is Jesus himself. Is that true?
No. In fact, it's absurd to say such a thing, particularly in light of the fact that in the very book that he's referencing, Michael is one of many. And you can see that in Daniel chapter 10. But beyond that, if you look at the book of Hebrews, particularly Hebrews chapter 1, you have a very clear statement: to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Jesus is not sent to minister to those who will inherit salvation. He is the one through whom we have salvation. And not only so, but if you look at the book of Revelation, John is getting a revelation. He falls down to worship at the feet of the angel that's showing him the vision. And the angel says, don't do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets. Worship God. So the notion that Jesus could be any kind of an angel, even an archangel, is disputed roundly and soundly, but by the Bible itself.
All right, because he also says the 2300-year prophecy in the book of Daniel started in 530 BC and ended in 1798, and the United States is supposed to be the lamb-like beast in the book of Revelation, because it started at the same time, and it was a Judeo-Christian started nation but slowly fell away from God.
That's total nonsense, and when you hear this kind of prostitution of Scripture, it's time to not walk but run to the exits.
I hear him on the radio, and I didn't know if it was. I wanted to come to you because I trust your teaching more than anybody else I find on the radio. And
well, I appreciate that, but with me or anybody else you listen to on the radio, and God forbid, watch on television, make sure that you test what they say in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. Because, you know, we say that the Bible is God's infallible repository for redemptive revelation that God has spoken. But the attendant question becomes, if God has spoken, what has God said? And that entails learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. Unfortunately, today we oftentimes have the blind leading the blinder. And a lot of people today also are not conversant with the notion of the priesthood of all believers. And so if someone has a platform or a title, they say, well, I got to believe what they say. No, you are to test what they say. And all of us have the ability to study and read and learn to understand the Bible. So we have Bibles, and we need to get into those Bibles, and when you do, you find out that there are all kinds of people that are misinterpreting the Scripture. And that's why Paul actually warns, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you, night and day with tears. And today we have Armageddon Incorporated. We have people that are are continuously reading their own odd predilections into the Word of God. It's one of the reasons I wrote a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it, my friend. Appreciate your call.
God bless.
God bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ann next. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
You just touched on this with the last caller, but I know that there are many that are trying to exploit the second coming of Christ. So I'm trying to be very careful with what I listen to and what I read. So I'm curious what you thought, or if you have any thoughts or are familiar with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. He's been on the John Ankerberg show talking about, I guess he has a book, Step by Step Through the Book of Revelation. And I'm just curious if what your thoughts are on it, if you think it's biblically sound, etc.
Two words, newspaper eschatology.
He's
got a book which deals with rebuilding the temple or a third temple. And that in itself is decidedly unbiblical. And in fact, it's not only unbiblical, it's dangerous. Imagine people trying to build a temple where the Dome of the Rock now stands, or anywhere on Temple Mount for that matter. That is a prescription for lighting the fuse of Armageddon. And I would say that people that are talking about that in Christian circles exacerbate the problem, because Jesus Christ is the temple. And when Jesus Christ comes, there's no need for temple, priest, and sacrifice. And the notion that Jesus one day is going to preside over a rebuilt temple with reinstituted temple sacrifices, sacrifices that if you take a literal reading of Scripture seriously, in the sense that they do, would be efficacious for sin, undermines the work of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ was speaking to the woman at the well, she wondered, well, where do we worship? Gerizim or Jerusalem? And the irony is the temple not built by human hands is standing before her. So once Jesus Christ comes, there's no need for temple, priest, and sacrifice. And to continue to engage temple, priest, and sacrifice is tantamount, in the words of Hebrews, to trampling upon the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So this whole notion of a third and a fourth temple is simply unbiblical. There's no warrant for it. Jesus is the temple. He's the ultimate temple. And therefore, no other temple will ever be needed.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Antonio in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Antonio.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm blessed. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's wonderful to take your call.
Oh yeah, it's an honor. Yeah, we just bought your me and my cousin just bought your book. And I wanted to like kind of pick your brain apart about tithing, and kind of get some more clarity on like what you were saying, because I definitely agree with everything you were saying, but I didn't feel like maybe you spoke too much on about free will giving, or maybe if you feel that we are supposed to be giving a certain percentage or no percentage, or just giving, you know.
Well, I think the point is that we should be giving, which is to say we should hold everything that we have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. So giving should never be done from a legalistic perspective. If you tithe, you should look at them, the tithes, that is, as training wheels for your bike.
Yeah.
Once you learn to ride the bike, you don't have to think too much about the tithe.
Yeah.
Because once you learn to ride the bike, you can depend, as it were, upon the arm of God as opposed to depending upon the arm of flesh.
Yeah.
So you start to see giving as a privilege. And there's no telling what can be accomplished in our generation if we catch the joy of contagious giving. We can not only spread the gospel around the globe, but we can feed the sick and the hungry.
Yeah.
And we can leave an indelible mark on our generation. So tithing is great as training wheels, because tithing is a timeless principle in the sense that we are reverencing God. But tithing, if it's done in a legalistic way, is not really accomplishing the purpose. The purpose is to meet the needs of people, to spread the gospel, and a demonstration that you trust God rather than trusting yourself.
So when you speak on legalistically giving, are you talking about like someone who may give like a certain percentage? Like if I'm giving 10%, is that what you're like talking about, someone who's giving legalistically?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about giving for the sake of meeting a particular threshold.
Yeah.
Doing it out of legalism.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, tithing is a training mechanism by which you can learn the joy of contagious giving.
Yeah.
The New Testament pattern is to hold what you have in an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. It is a recognition that you're not an owner. You don't own anything. You're a steward.
Yeah.
You're a steward of what God gives you, what he places into your hands. Because everything that you have, everything that you are, is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And so the idea of giving as a legalistic proscription is what I have problems with.
Mm-hmm.
If tithing is a means through which you can learn the joy of contagious giving, then tithing is a wonderful discipline to get involved in. But if it's something that you do legalistically, then you're bound by the law rather than being liberated by the law.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to leave it at that. Unfortunately, I've written about this, is the tithe for today, in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, remember, right here tomorrow on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, we're dealing with an issue dedicated to three words. We were wrong. You don't want to miss tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
The Christian Research Journal is the premier magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. Joining Hank tomorrow on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, will be discussing the latest issue of the journal. In this issue, topics like abortion and healthcare reform, walking you through a spiritual boot camp, and a re-evaluation of our views on the movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, known as the local church. So be sure to tune in for this special broadcast. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.